The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jairus, a respected leader, begs Jesus to heal his daughter. A woman with a hemorrhage was considered ritually unclean and treated as an outcast. Both Jairus and the unnamed woman come to Jesus in faith, believing in his power to heal and bring life out of death. The Gospel lesson. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Join me in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for your presence here and for the presence of all your children who have gathered to worship your holy name and receive the gifts of your grace. As you spoke words of encouragement to the two in our gospel text, the woman with the hemorrhage and Jairus, so speak words of encouragement to us today, that our faith might be placed squarely in you, your presence, and your power. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1871, tragedy struck Chicago as fire ravaged the city. When it was finally extinguished, The fire had taken over 300 lives and had left 100,000 homeless. A man by the name of Horatio Gates Spafford was one of those who tried to help the people of the city get back on their feet. Spafford was a Chicago lawyer, and he himself had invested heavily into the downtown area, and he too lost all of his properties as a result of the fire. More tragically, Spafford had also suffered the loss of his only son just a year earlier. Still, for 2 years after the fire, Spafford assisted those ruined by that calamity. After these 2 years, Spafford and his family decided to go to England and join D.L. Moody on one of his evangelistic crusades. After the crusade, they were going to take a family vacation and travel in Europe. Horatio Spafford was delayed due to business, but sent his family on ahead. He would catch up with them on the other side of the Atlantic. Their ship, the Villa de Havre, however, never made it. Off Newfoundland, it collided with an English sailing ship, the Loch Earn, sank within 20 minutes. Although Horatio's wife, Anna, was able to cling to a piece of floating wreckage, one of only 47 survivors among hundreds, their four daughters all perished in the collision. Horatio received a horrible telegram from his wife, only two words long: saved alone. Spafford boarded the next available boat to be with his grieving wife. And when the ship passed near the spot where his daughters had died, Spafford penned these precious words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Every one of us sitting here this morning and every one of us tuned in on the internet has been impacted by tragedy and by trials, both as individuals and as a community, whether it be illness or infirmity or loss due to natural disasters. We have all experienced pain. We live in a broken world. We will all experience trials, though I pray not to the level of Horatio Spafford. In our gospel text today, we are confronted by two people, a woman and a father, who are each experiencing trial and tragedy. The woman was exhausted by her illness. She had used up her resources and her hope for a cure. Jairus' heart is broken. And in the midst of their tragedy, they each turn to Jesus. That day, death showed up at the house of Jairus. Death had come for his 12-year-old daughter. We are told that this man Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of prominence. He was a man who had much. But at this moment, none of it mattered. When Jairus spoke, people listened. When Jairus walked into a room, everyone would stand in recognition. But now, he finds himself in a place where none of that matters. Sickness and death could care less about who you are, what you possess, or the position that you hold. I can assure you that Jairus would have traded everything for the power to change that moment. Life became very defined for him. And life comes into crystal clear focus when tragedy comes, does it not? What you think matters now, what you think is important, will cease to matter then. I remember very clearly a conversation I had with a parishioner when he was in the hospital dying of cancer. He said, "Pastor, all the problems I faced in life were nothing compared to this. I would give up all my money, I would give up all the things that I own to only have my health back." Trials put life into perspective. Trials define us. They speak to the maturity of our faith. Interestingly, the name Jairus means he whom God enlightens. Notice how this man of position and power came before Jesus. The scripture tells us he fell at his feet. The Greek word translated fell means to descend from a higher place to a lower. In other words, this man of prominence humbled himself in the presence of the Lord of glory. And one of the greatest truths in the scripture is this: the way up is down. The way up is to empty yourself of self and allow Jesus to fill you anew. Jesus is crystal clear in many places in the scripture. To be great in God's kingdom, you must be a servant to all. When Jairus came to Jesus, he fell down before him and makes his petition to the Lord. "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." What a statement of faith that is. Each of us must reach the place in our lives where we know that we cannot, but He can. He can. For those recovering from an addiction to alcohol or drugs, this acknowledgement is key in the process, that only a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. Jairus knew that the only hope for his daughter to be cured lay in a power greater than the power of any human being. The woman with the hemorrhages, after exhausting all of her resources on a human cure, knew that her only hope lay in Jesus the Messiah. So she places her faith in him and was not disappointed. Jesus was moved by the woman's faith and by this man's faith, and he goes with Jairus to his house. We each have to ask ourselves if our relationship with Jesus rises to that level. Are your eyes on Jesus? If you are focused on the King of Kings, focused on the Lord of Lords, then nothing can bring you down for long. This encounter with Jairus also puts into perspective, I think, the importance of the one among the many. Notice that Jesus left the crowd to minister to a single person, Jairus. He was never too busy to respond to the needs of the individual. His public ministry of only 3 short years was constantly centering on the person, on the individual. As you and I look to the needs of the world around us, as you and I have looked at our community over the last year through our refocusing, and specifically the needs of Nashville and our diverse community, we can become overwhelmed. We want to help, but we hardly know where to begin. The temptation is to despair and to wring our hands and to feel that anything we might do would be of little or no significance. But quite the contrary, my friends. Here at First Lutheran, we are blessed with tremendous resources, including talented and caring people that I see sitting before me, a wonderful downtown location, and facilities with tremendous potential for ministry and partnerships. The fact is that where our ability and the world's needs intersect is where we are most needed and where we are called to be light and salt. The woman with the hemorrhage placed her faith in Jesus, and it did not waver. Jairus placed his faith in Jesus, and even in the face of death, his faith did not waver, even in such tragedy. Jesus says to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus says to Jairus, "Be not afraid, only believe." What a word of faith. That is what faith says to us today. You are First Lutheran Church of Nashville. Your faith, your maturity is known throughout the synod and the city. This time of trial, this time of transition that you are experiencing will only make those who go through it together stronger in the faith. And God promises that when trials come, with Him, we will go through it and not remain in it. My friends, in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every tribulation, declare boldly to all, "Even so, it is well with my soul." In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Now you may remain seated, and we're going to turn to that hymn penned by Horatio Spafford, "It Is Well With My Soul."